WKBB presents, in words and music, Tribute to a Trooper, a program to honor the spirit of Harry Frankel, Singin' Sam, and to bring some measure of comfort, we hope, to those who love him. The music is his own. The words are gleaned from the hearts of his many friends.
Say it simply. Sing it simply, Singing Sam used to say. Make music from the heart. And so tonight, in simple language, we would pay our tribute to a trooper, to a man who had all the qualities we associate with that term, good trooper, an abiding loyalty to his friends and associates, an eagerness to lend a hand to those who were coming up the ladder, an unaffected modesty, an overflowing love of life and of people. His father wanted him to be a merchant. Instead, he became a vendor of song, a troubadour who brought pleasure not to many, but to millions. This community, the people of this community, he loved in a very special way. It was his home, not only in a physical sense, but in a spiritual one as well. Main Street he chose in deliberate preference to the glamour of Hollywood or the lights of Broadway. So it is tonight that we hail him, not primarily as one of the greatest radio stars of all time, not as a nationally known figure, but as our friend, our own Main Street troubadour. When his physical presence was taken from us, the newspaper headlines and some radio commentators said, "The voice of Singin' Sam is stilled." But that is not true. Through the ingenuity of man, through the modern miracle of our age, through radio and recording, that magnificent voice lives on. It's as impossible to think of it as stilled as it is to imagine a spirit like his not living on. Today and tomorrow, and through the years to come, it can bring the same warmth, the same comfort and solace that it gave during his physical lifetime.
There's a little brown road winding over the hill to a little white spot by the sea. There's a little green gate at whose trellis I wait, while two eyes of blue from the smile blue at me. There's a gray lock of dew in the brown of the hair. There's some silver in mine, too, I see. But in all the long years, when the club brought their tears, those two eyes of blue kept my throat.
And if ever I'm left in this world all alone, I shall wait for my call to make them bleed. For if
Sam was always a good showman. Show business was his life. When he was only a lad, he organized his playmates into a circus troupe and put on shows in the barn back of his family's home. By the time he was 17, he was singing in the Belfast Barbershop Quartet, made up of Richmond boys. He sang between the shows in the days of the old silent movies, played a guitar. He was a member of a dance orchestra. He was still very young, a very young man, when he thought he had really arrived. He was asked to sing with illustrated slides at the Bijou Theater in Cincinnati. Well, from that time on, his career took him steadily into brighter lights. As a part of the Two Blackbirds team on the Keith Orpheum vaudeville circuit, to end man in the L.G. Field Minstrels, to that radio debut in 1929 as the Lawnmower Man, and finally, to his long stint for Barbasol on a national network when he became most widely known. So much so that when he made personal appearances, he was billed in lights as Singin' Sam the Barbasol Man.
What a magnificent vehicle his deep, rich voice was. He never had any formal musical training. The music was in his soul. His range was wide, perhaps two octaves, and his songs were voiced five or six notes below the normal key in which they were written. His remarkable sense of rhythm was an outcome of that early work in dance orchestras. He sang by ear, having that rare gift of perfect pitch, so that he never had to worry about hitting the right note. And his friends will tell you that there was never a sour note either in his attitude toward people or the world. A wonderful memory was his, and he could concentrate on singing the words to the hearts of his listeners. As a minister in Ohio has written, one who never met him, his music touched the spot. I feel I have lost a real friend. He was a man of a very big heart and a warm feeling for everybody. Fan letters he received by the thousands. Boys in the mud of Germany in this last war eagerly stood by their improvised radio as Singin' Sam came on. It was a touch of home. Usually they were old songs that he sang. He thought the old songs, the down-to-earth songs, had been written with more thought, had more genuine feeling in the lyrics. Simple melodies, simple harmonies he liked. And with them he made beautiful music.
We could make such beautiful music together. La-da-da-dee. We could sing the loveliest love song together. La-da-da-dee. Our hearts beat in temple, the sound of our voices will ring, the touch of our hands make us sing, the touch of our lips will be magic. Lovely chords resound from the blend of a few notes. Da 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 dee. You and I in love are the blending of blue notes, no blue notes. Say the words. The words that I long for, let them be the theme of our song, for we could make that beautiful music together.
Lovely chords resound from the blend of a few notes. You and I and love are the blending of two notes. Say the word.
that I long for, let them be the theme of a song, for we could make this beautiful music together.
Harry Franco's devotion to his family, parents, his sisters, his stepson, his wife, was obvious to anyone who knew him. To his mother especially, he was very close. She was the one for whom he sang his first song, the old ballad She Chose. Frequently he would say, I'll sing this one for Mother. And it was his delight to sing the request numbers his parents and their friends asked for.
There have been those who have said, what a shame with a voice like that, that Harry Frankel didn't have formal training. Why, he could have been a grand opera star. Well, would he have brought the pleasure to the millions that he has brought if he'd chosen a path like that?
He developed a mic style all his own. It was the despair of studio engineers at first. He just used one mic for himself and his accompanist, sang close to it, and across mic, as we say in radio, so that he seemed to be singing just to you in your chair at home.
He had a peculiar understanding and sympathy for older people. As he sang to the little old ladies across the nation, he must have visioned them sitting there, rocking and smiling. He must have been singing to his own mother.
Little old lady, may you never know a tear, save from joy or plaintive music softly floating in your ear. May the hand of sorrow miss you and the lips of laughter kiss you. May the good Lord grant but this, you little old lady, little old lady.
It's a deeply moving thing when they do.
Men wept unashamed at Harry Frankel's funeral, wept for their loss, the loss of a friend. For here was a man's man. A man who loved the outdoors, liked to yell the loudest at basketball games, liked the companionship of other men. Fishing was one of his main delights in life. He liked to while away hour on hour, sitting in the downtown business places of his friends, reminiscing, telling tales of fishing expeditions. He was a great kidder. In fact, one day a very surprised gentleman walked into the back of a local store, and Harry boomed out in a voice loud enough to scare as well as surprise, doggone it, watch where you're going. You're walking through the best doggone fishing hole in Wayne County and getting it all muddied up. Sometime it was his fun to go behind the counter and wait on the trade. Many a stranger must have bought a fishing rod without knowing that his salesman was not only a great fisher, but a great and well-known singer.
He never forgot any friend he ever had. New or old, he never outgrew his friends. Friends were not to be made, used, and forgotten. When Harry Frankel was a man's friend, he was his friend for life, and that friend could do no wrong. Sometimes people say to their friends, if there's anything I can do, let me know. Harry just went and did the kind thing without much thought. No one will ever know the full extent of his practical demonstrations of friendship. If we had a list of his benefactions, we shouldn't read it here. He did not wish it known while he lived. For many of his kindnesses, he was never repaid and perhaps never expected to be. You don't count the cost when a friend needs your help. And those friends were from every walk of life, ranging from famous stars of the entertainment world to the humblest citizen of Richmond.
When he was on the road, Sing and Sam was always eager to get home again to Richmond and see the boys and play some golf. Once, the story is told, he turned down a 2 weeks engagement at one of America's finest theaters at a high fee. There was a golf tournament on in Richmond in which he wanted to play. He told them he was very sorry. He was all booked up. Agents and producers in New York were disgusted with him because he wouldn't stay there and work. And Hollywood wanted him to make a movie. But that Hollywood glamour couldn't compare to his little kingdom of Richmond. With that little lake over near New Paris to think about. Friends reminded him, but if you aren't interested in the money, think of the achievement of making movies. He smiled and with his slow drawl he answered, what achievement?
I wouldn't have $1 million for $1 million, Singin' Sam used to say to his wife. He was free from slavery to material things. Sure, he wanted enough money to take care of his family and his friends. After that, fishing was more fun. He was a prince of storytellers. Could tell a story with such artistry that you saw the scene, sensed the characters. Well, you could smell the very wood smoke coming from that cabin in the far north. Like a true humorist, he laughed first at himself and then at the other fellow. Take the time he was fishing, casting with his new rod, and he stepped over a log and fell into a deep pool, well nigh drowned when his boots filled with water. But what a story he made of it. Although you rarely, if ever, saw him angered with people, he could take a sudden impatience with inanimate things. Like the day he was playing golf over near Eaton, and his ball went in the sand trap. He stood above it and addressed it in very colorful language, then viciously chopped at it. As if in retribution, it flew up and struck him squarely in the Adam's apple, knocking him down. That was a story he retold many times to show you should keep calm when you're playing golf. No saint, Harry Frankel. People wouldn't have loved him so much if he had been. But even his very faults were somewhere endearing, his procrastination, his taking things so easy. There was a table leg he promised to fix for his wife. Like any man, he'd say, "I'm going to get at that tomorrow." Came the day when the table collapsed. Then he grabbed the leg, took it to his workshop, and in his haste didn't quite get it fastened securely in his lathe. It flew out and hit him in the head, knocking him cold. When he had made errors in judgment, he'd grin slowly like a little boy caught in a jam closet and murmur, "Ms. Mitchell, look what I did." This coining of sudden colorful expressions was a part of him. Many a golfer in these parts still speaks of his ball going in the gusby when he means the deep rough. Harry made that one up one day. Golly, that ball went clean in the gusby. Nicknames galore he had for people. That, too, was an indication of his warm interest in those he met. You felt it when he talked to you, or when he sang to you.
The soft summer breeze brings fond memories of a night in a southern clime. The old melodies flow through the trees, and we know that it's sleepy time. Where lazy waters flow in the evening afterglow, and dew is on the melon. The moon is hanging low over cotton fields below. It's sleepy time in Caroline. From yonder distant hill, you can hear a whippoorwill, while sweethearts find a thrill as their hearts entwine. And through the cabin door, lullabies tell us once more, it's sleepy time in Caroline.
Harry Frankel never took his achievements seriously. When the Frankels would be at public places of entertainment, and the MC would suddenly announce, "We have a great star of the radio with us tonight," and then the spotlight would swing to Singin' Sam, he'd grin in embarrassment and murmur to his wife, "Only a singer, Mommy, only a singer." When you went to his house, he never played his records for you, but you'd better rave about that mounted fish he'd caught on a 3-ounce rod after battling for 15 minutes. And you were taken to his heart if you admired the beautiful bait box he made with his own hands, or the flies for trout fishing, or the exquisite bamboo silk-wrapped fly rod turned out in his spare moments. There was much of the boyish in him. In his woodworking shop, he turned out truly fine. End tables, cabinets. He was always dreaming up a gadget. Now he and his friends might manufacture this item and make some money. And then somebody would point out that he could make more singing one song than he could in a year on this gadget. He'd smile ruefully and insist that this would keep him in Richmond. And it would certainly be good business. Take the restaurant business now. He might go into that.
Yes, there was much of the boy in him. He could easily forget an anniversary or birthday and then get up early and tear downtown and be disappointed because the bakery wasn't open at 8 a.m. so he could buy a birthday cake. With his wife's smiles, he shared not only his love and his interest, but the healing boon of his laughter as well. To him, life was fun. He was no worrier. Leave that to the professional worrier. We don't know whether he realized that his health was not good. We do know that shortly before his death, he asked his best friend to look after Smiles if anything should happen to me. And he had a happy day Friday before he died on Saturday by planning a big surprise for his wife, an unbirthday present. Sometime earlier, she had casually remarked, half jestingly, that someday she was going to have a convertible, one in a loud color. She just felt she'd reached that age in life when you wanted a convertible. He scoffed at her. They weren't going to get a new car for a long time, and if he should get her one, mind you, it would be a dark and conservative color, and no convertible. Friday, with boyish delight, he drove up to their house with a brand new convertible, the loudest color the dealer had. One of his last concerns in the hospital was whether or not his wife had gotten that new car from the dealer. It was a big car, and she was a little person. My, you're going to look cute in that, he chuckled. Of all his good qualities, perhaps his outstanding one was his generous tolerance for people. What they did was their business. When other people criticized him, he'd say, well, now, maybe they're tired or have trouble at home. It was always an alibi for their fault. How shall we judge a man's success? By the money he makes? Or the fame he achieves? Or by the number of friends who mourn? When he makes that transition, we call, for want of a better name, death. With everyone with whom he came in contact, Terry Frankel seemed to leave a bit of his own tolerance, his love of living, a chuckle, a song, the good things of life. The song ended, the melody stilled. Ah, no. The way may be long, the night dark, but a happy lot will be seen at the end of the road.
Weary of roaming on, yearning to see the dawn. Out in the hour till I can lay down my load. Weary, but I don't mind, knowing that soon I'll find peace and contentment at the end of the road. The way is long, the night is dark, but I don't mind, cause a happy lark we'll be singing at the end of the road. I can't go wrong, I must go right. I'll find my way, cause a guiding light will be shining at the end of the road. There may be thorns in my path, but I'll wear a smile. Thorns in a little while, my path will be roses. The rain up above, but I won't stop, for the one I love will be waiting at the end of the road.
One of Singin' Sam's hobbies was photography. How proud he was when a picture of him, a sunset, took a prize. He never photographed people, but always trees and clouds overhead. And time and time again he made pictures of the sunset. It was natural he should love the sun, his warmth and glory. A cloudy day could depress him more quickly than anything else. The sun he loved, and ripe wheat waving in a Hoosier breeze, he said was beautiful. There was a bigness in him akin to his beloved outdoors. He could not wait for the harvest. He has walked into the sunset just yonder, with a song on his lips. A great radio star, in his own words. Only a singer, Mommy. Only a singer.
The rain may fall from up above, but I won't stop, for the one I love will be waiting at the end of the
just heard Tribute to a Trooper, a program presented by radio station WKBV in memory of Harry Frankel, Singin' Sam, dedicated to his family and to his many friends. The
program was written and produced by Francis Ewart. Narrators were Miss Ewart and Bill Niersbach. Music was recorded and was from the Refreshment Time album of Singin' Sam, which was loaned for this occasion by Mrs. J.R. Witherby.